Good morning. Thank you, Luke, for that reading. You got a long one, didn't you? Yeah, it's a good one, though. Keep your text open to that. It's the Lord willing, we'll start there in a little bit with this lesson. We'll talk about marks of maturity. And there are three passages I want us to focus on today. This one in Ephesians is where we'll start. But we all know about maturity. And it starts as soon as a mother finds out she's with child. You know how this works. Today we have this thing called an ultrasound. And you go in and they put that thing on her tummy and they get a little picture somehow with sound waves of what that child is. And what do we want to know? Does the size of the baby in the womb match up with the number of weeks that she has been with child? And you keep watch over that progress, and it's not big enough, and then lo and behold, a little while later, a 12 pounder pops out. It's just you're looking at these things and you're concerned. And used to be we didn't know, and so we didn't worry as much. I don't think about the size, but now we know we can see that, so we're kind of concerned if the size isn't what it should be. And then once they're born, what's the first thing you do? You count fingers and you count toes. You want everything to be there. And they run this battery of tests to make sure that the child is healthy and well. And then when we get them home, you want to make sure that they're able to eat. However you're going to feed that child, you want to make sure that it eats. And believe me, children will eat. They will eventually eat. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. But before they eat, or before we talk about them eating, we talk about them walking. They're so many months and they're not crawling yet. Well, so what? They'll eventually crawl. Unless there's some obvious problem, they will crawl. But if you're a mom and a dad, you worry about this. Oh, I don't know, my child's going. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be okay. What we were just reminded of by Ryan. By the way, didn't he do a fantastic job leading us to remember the Lord and his sacrifice? So grateful for this young man and for his family and for Titus and for what he does for us. God's given him a gift, and these guys are using their gifts to serve as so many others are, you, men and women alike. It's just fantastic. What was I talking about? Maturity. Walking and talking children. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. We want so much to teach our little ones how to walk and how to talk. They're not talking yet, and they're X number of months old. They'll talk. They'll talk. You'll be telling them, shut up, soon enough, because they'll learn to talk. But the whole thing is, we just want our children to progress so much. And I know mothers who are, especially mothers, dads not so much, worried about, my child won't eat, my child won't eat. Well, have you been giving them snacks? Sometimes we give our children snacks, and I'm guilty of this too. You give your child snacks, and then they don't eat the healthy food that's put in front of them because they are children and don't know the difference between snacks and healthy food. They just know if they're hungry or not. And if you don't give them the unhealthy snacks, they will eventually eat the healthy food. This is not parenting 101. It's just, they'll eat. They will eat. Unless they've been fed junk. All of us are the same. A child that eats healthy food, if everything else is right, they're going to grow. And they're going to mature. And it'll be a wonder. You'll look at some little boy, some little girl, and I think they're too small for their age. And then overnight, boom, you got a six-footer. How did that happen? Haven't you done that before? You've been in a congregation of people and you're looking at children who were small and now they're this. And I'm old enough to have seen children born into this world who are now having children born into this world through themselves. It's a wonder how life goes on and the things you get to see if you live long enough to see it. But we want our children to mature, and we know the only way to do that is to feed them right, but also to train them. And the same thing is true spiritually. Don't let them be filled up with junk. And here's another thing about raising children. I'll say this while I'm up here as well. Let them be bored. Do not think that as a parent, it is your responsibility to keep your children occupied with stuff all the stinking time. Let them be bored. Do not. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble. Teenagers are going to hate me. This is for an adult. If you're a child and you need a phone, you need a phone that doesn't have the internet. You need a phone that you can call mommy and daddy if you get in some kind of trouble and you need some help. That's the kind of phone you need. You don't need the internet. Here's what we do. Not just children, grown adults. This is what we do. Our whole life is spent doing this. Oh, here's a cool TikTok video. Look at that. Some guy came out of his house and saw a bear. That's great. What's next? Oh, there's somebody eating their breakfast. And look, they dropped their plate on the food and the dog came and got it immediately. That's pretty funny. How about that? Here's a guy. This is a whole video about people doing stupid stuff at work. This is what we do, is it not? And oh, I'm just going to watch a couple and scroll. There's another. Oh, I've said it before. I remember it occurred to me. When we were on tour in Israel, not just in Israel, in Jerusalem, buses driving through the streets of the ancient city of Jerusalem. What a great trip that was. But I'm looking out the window and walking on the streets, everybody's doing this. Guys that look like rabbis. You know, they look like Phil with a black hat on. You probably never thought of that before, have you? And now you can't unsee it. But you know what I'm talking about. And not just guys that look like rabbis, but guys that look like Arabs from Arabia with the whole garb on. Everybody is standing around watching their phone, looking at their phone. I'm not sure what they're doing, but I know what's not happening. We're often not connecting with one another. And we don't want that to happen to our children. We want them to grow up. We want them to be so bored that they finally start thinking about themselves and about life and not thinking about themselves in a selfish way, but trying to think, what can I do to engage myself constructively? In Ephesians chapter 4, I hesitate sometimes to say, this is a fantastic text. It's like, what about the rest of them? Well, they're all fantastic texts. Can we agree on that? I think we're all agreed on that. But this one especially speaks to this idea of maturing. Here's what he says, verse 11. Ephesians 4, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. Why did he do that? He did that, it says in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. That's what saints are supposed to be about. Who is a saint? If you have been baptized into Christ, you are a saint. The word saint is simply an English word that means somebody who is sanctified. God has set you apart from the world based on your faith in Him and your obedience to His Son's gospel. He set you apart. You're different now. He's put His Spirit in you. That's what Jesus was talking about in the third chapter of John. You're different. Not because you're better than anybody else, but because now you belong to God. And so, God had His Son to put in His apostles' mind to write to the church at Ephesus. And Ephesus was a hard town. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, at one point he said, I fought with beasts at Ephesus. Tough place to preach and to live as a Christian. But he's writing to this church and he's saying, our Lord Jesus has put apostles and prophets and pastors and shepherds and all teachers, evangelists, put them in the church for the equipping of the saints to do the work of service. That's one thing we're supposed to be about. But keep reading. He's not done yet. To the building up of the body of Christ. That's what you and I as Christians are supposed to be about. One of the things, building up the body of Christ. Encouraging people who have named Jesus as their Savior, who are following Him in His way to build up the body of Christ. Until, how long are we going to do this? Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a, and there it is, to a mature man. or woman. We're just doing this to the point of becoming mature. Are we done yet? Couldn't have said it better myself. Amen. We are not done yet. Our work is still in front of us. Lord, love them. Until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. What a mouthful. What does that all mean? That means until you and I are like Jesus, we're not done. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I don't need to. Marks of maturity. What are the marks of maturity? I'm not going to give you a list. Why are there four gospels? It's not a trick question, but the Bible doesn't really say why there are four gospels. We just have four gospels. There's only one book of Acts that accounts for the spread of the church throughout the Mediterranean, the first century world. One letter written to the Romans, other letters written to different churches. But of gospels, we've got four: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why? In my estimation, you might have your own opinion. The main thing we need to learn is who Jesus is. And when you start reading in Matthew, and you read through Matthew, and you read through Mark's gospel as well, and you read through Luke and John, you're going to get a flavor of Christ in every one of those gospels that'll be a little bit different, but it's all the same thing. And you know how this works. You've eaten some kind of food, I don't know what it might be, lasagna or something, or biscuits and gravy, and you can... Just thinking about biscuits and gravy, can you taste the pepper? Yeah. And the texture of a biscuit that's fresh and hot, and it's got that gravy on there, and it's not too dry gravy, and it's not gravy out of a box. Let those be anathema. Just kidding. But you know what I'm talking about. It's all those things that come together. And that's what we are when we mature in Christ. We see everything that Jesus is about, and we incorporate those things into our life. The way that he loved and the way that he cared about people, his compassion, the way he was willing to take time, the way he was willing to touch people who weren't supposed to be touched, the way he sat down with sinners and he ate with them in spite of the fact that that was an unpopular thing to do, the way he was also willing to call down those who needed calling down. Not to be ugly and hateful, but to speak the truth in love, because this is what Jesus has called us to do. He's called us to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. To be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. He's called us to be peacemakers. Tell me a time in the history of our nation when the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has needed more to learn to be peacemakers and harmless as doves and wise as serpents. Tell me a time in our history when we needed these things more. To love even our enemies. And you may not think you've got enemies. Oh, bless your heart, you do. Just because you name the name of Christ, you have enemies. And Jesus teaches us to love them. So in coming to maturity, as Jesus has put these offices in the church, apostles and prophets, and we don't have apostles and prophets in person, but we've got them, we've got their writings. But we do have pastors, which a pastor is a shepherd is a bishop is an overseer is a presbyter. All those are the same office, just with different words of description. And they're all descriptive of what a shepherd does. And then teachers and evangelists. All of these offices are in the church to mature the church, to bring us to a point where we are like Christ, so like Christ, that we serve and we are united as Jesus prayed for unity. But we're not united just on religion. We're united by the word of Christ. Look at verse 16. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. What's that mean? That means you have something to offer, and you may not even know what it is. And it may not be what you see others offering. It probably isn't. Maybe you're not able to do the things you see other people doing. That's fine. You've got something to do. And the point of apostles and prophets, the point of shepherds, the point of evangelists and teachers is to help bring you to a point where you are behaving as Jesus would in whatever gifts you have. And we've all got different gifts and different abilities. We run the gambit, and that's the way it's supposed to be, because we are a body. And you've got different parts of your body, and they don't all do the same thing. And aren't you thankful that your fingers aren't trying to be toes? That's who and what we are. To mature as a body, we have to mature as individuals. And all of that is right here in Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Paul said to the church in Ephesus, all this is to get us to the point where we will serve as Christ served. And service is a mark of maturity. And in Hebrews chapter 5, we read this. The writer is talking to these saints, these Christians, about Melchizedek and about how Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And then he says in verse 11, concerning him, we have much to say. And it's hard to explain, since you have become, my translation says, dull of hearing. What in the world does dull of hearing means? If I could give you a picture of myself at 10 years old in the classroom at Foster Grade School, you would see the definition of dull of hearing. I had other things to do. I had better things to do. I kept staring out the window thinking, when's it going to be recess? When's it going to be lunch? When are we going to get to go out and play? When am I going to get to go home? When are we going to do whatever I want to do? And because I was caught up in what I wanted, what I was interested in, I was dull of hearing. That's what the writer's talking to Christians about. I want to talk to you about Melchizedek and how Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Doesn't that sound fantastic? And he said, but I can't talk to you about that because you're dull of hearing. You're not that interested in it, apparently. It's something that's kind of above and beyond you. And he's saying, don't be like that. He goes on to say this, for though by this time you ought to be what? You ought to be teachers, he says to these people he's writing to. Because they're not like us. They're not full grown and mature. They're not begging to find somebody to talk to about Jesus like us. Yeah, you see what I'm doing? I'm being facetious, aren't I? New word, facetious. Google it later. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. I want to think that I'm ready for solid food. But sometimes I hear somebody else talking about their discipleship in Christ, and I think, wow, they're way beyond me. Maybe I need some more milk to bring me up to the point where I can eat the solid food that they're eating, because, man, they sound really far along in their discipleship. Everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. The word of righteousness, what's he talking about there? Well, of course, that's the word of God. Not accustomed to the word of righteousness. May it never be said that you and I are not accustomed to the word of righteousness. Our hearts and minds ought to be so hard in this book And not just in it to read it, but in it to think about it, to meditate on it. This is why I go back to not making sure that our every waking moment of our children's lives is filled up with some kind of activity, because our children have to learn to think. And the only way we can learn to think is to have some downtime, to be bored. Time when you're not staring at a screen or staring at a TV. And yes, I remember being young parents and just get them in front of the TV so they'll shut up for a while, leave us alone. You know what that's like? That's the temptation. But don't let that be the life of your children. And don't let that be your life either. To be preoccupied with stuff that doesn't have any depth. To have a faith that goes this way is not very helpful to anyone. We need faith that goes this way, to be rooted and grounded in Christ. And that's what the author of Hebrews is talking about here. You need somebody to teach you the elementary principles of Christ. Oh, wow. And then he goes into chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of... Now here's where he gives us a list of things that are the elementary principles. This is kind of telling. Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of instruction about washings and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. What's he doing? He's saying that all of those things are the elementary principles. That's what we should have learned in Christianity 101. We've got to move on from that stuff. We've got to go deeper. We've got to go more into Christ. And the only way to do that is to focus on Christ, what he said, what he did, what he left for us. To mature in Christ is to become more and more like Christ. Last passage we'll look at this morning. 1 Peter, starting in chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 22 of chapter 1. And then go down into a little bit of chapter. What did I say? Yeah. Chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 22. That's where we'll start, and we'll go down into chapter 2 a little bit. Keep in mind what this letter is written about. This letter is written by Peter. If you read the whole context, you'll probably agree with me. He's writing to the church about persecution that they are going to endure. And he's writing to the church to help them bear up under persecution, to be strong when they are put upon, when they are mistreated, when they are abused for their faith in Christ. That's what this letter is about. So he says this, chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you've been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. And then he quotes Isaiah 40. It says, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass, and the grass withers, the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord endures how long? Forever. Some of you folks have already wished me happy birthday. Tomorrow's my birthday. Woohoo! I'll be 69. I'm old. Yeah. Some of you are going, There's a joke I heard years ago. Two friends, it was told to me as true. I'll just repeat it, telling you that I was told it was true. One was 89, the other was 95, and they were in a car dealership looking at Corvettes. And the one that was 95 said to the one that was 89, if I was your age, I'd buy one of those things. It's all a matter of perspective, isn't it? But look at me. I'm dying as you look at me. I'm going away. My body is wasting away. I don't look like I did 50 years ago. But if you could see what's on the inside, you'd be saying, oh, Marty, how have you grown? Boy, you have gotten so much better than you used to be. Because I used to be an idiot. You go with that where you want to. But I'm just telling you that what's on the inside has changed a lot. And not the way the outside has changed. And that's all because of God. That's all because of Jesus Christ. That's all because of the Holy Spirit, whose leadership I've tried to follow. And at every time I've done it, it has benefited me. And it has matured me and it has taught me. And don't take away from your children hardships and difficulties that come their way as children. The most valuable lessons we learn in life are usually taught when we're in a tough situation. You take away all the difficult things, you make their life easy, you're going to raise some wimps. I'm serious. It's not a joke. Paul is writing to a church who's going to undergo persecution, and he's not saying, oh, you got to be tough. He's saying love. Love one another. That's what makes you strong. Your flesh is going to pass away, but the word of God endures forever, and you've been born again by that word. So love one another out of a pure heart fervently. Chapter 2, verse 1, putting aside all malice, putting aside all deceit. What's malice and deceit? That's what immature people do. That's how immature people behave, with malice and with deceit. Put away hypocrisy. Put away envy. Put away slander. That's what immature people do, because immature people think about themselves and they get offended at everything. And these are the kind of ways in which they behave. And so he tells the church, you've been born again by the living word of God. Love one another out of a pure heart fervently. And here's what you need to do. Put aside malice and deceit and hypocrisy, evil, slander. And like newborn babies, do what? Long for the pure milk of the word. The older you get, the more you realize how beneficial to your body good food is. Healthy food. Eat some greens every now and then. Get some good meat. Eat some eggs. Eat real butter. Throw that margarine away. Have a piece of bacon. Drink some coffee. Things that are real food will feed your body, and you will physically feel the benefit of eating good food. What about your spirit? What about your soul? You sit in front of that TV. It's junk. Some of the things we read are junk. Facebook is to be appreciated for the good that it can do. But here's the thing about Facebook. Facebook has opened us up to more hate and more ugliness and more malice and more filthy stuff, more detestable things. It's funny. If somebody showed up at our house, they said, hey, I want to come in and teach your children how to be a reprobate. We'd say, get off my porch. Honey, where's the shotgun? But you turn on your TV, or you put your child in front of a computer, and there are all kinds of people doing that through the television and through the computer. It's dangerous. It's a difficult world. And if we grow up in Christ, we'll learn some things about this, and we'll take steps to alleviate the problems in life and to put our kids in a situation where they will grow. But not just our kids, ourselves as well. He says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. If you've tasted the kindness of the Lord. Isn't that an interesting way to put it? If you've tasted the kindness of the Lord. Think about something you really enjoy eating right now, whatever it might be. Popcorn, chocolate, some of those chocolates that have the caramel in them and caramel with pecans. Have you ever eaten chocolate with caramel and pecans? I know I'm leading you astray. This is evil stuff. You were talking about healthy food a while ago, Marty, and now what are you doing? I'm talking about things that you put it in your mouth and you go, oh, that's so good. Well, that's what Peter is talking to the church about with regard to the Word of God. Get that Word in your mind. Get that Word in your heart. And you will say like Peter does, this is good. I long for this. And when life presses you down, when life pushes you down, when the darkness comes, this is what you're going to long for. This is what you're going to appreciate. We were cleaning out our car. I'm about to close up here. I'll close with this. How many of you have napkins in your car from fast food places all over? Yeah, they're coming handy. And I took a couple of those that were kind of crumpled. They hadn't been used. They were clean, but they were crumpled. They'd been stuffed down in the pocket of the car for a long time. And I was about to throw them away. And then I thought to myself, how many times have I been in a situation where I'd have given a $100 bill for a good Kleenex? You've been there. Something's going on with your body, and you're out in public, and you need to do something about that. And all you've got is your hand and your sleeve. And I read somewhere that's why they put buttons on jackets, because the king's guards used to do this, and he didn't like it, so they had so buttons on. I don't know if that's true or not. But you notice these days the buttons are all on the backside, so if you've got a coat on, it's pretty handy. No, you know what I'm saying. That napkin, that Kleenex, it has value that you may not see all the time. But when you need it, you will see it. That's exactly the way Jesus is in this world. So many people do not see the value in Christ. And I'm not bragging, but somehow we've come to see it. I'm like Ryan. Why me? Why do I get to have this? Why do I get to enjoy this? Why do I believe when people who are smarter than me don't believe? I haven't figured that out. People have tried to give me answers to that question, but I don't know what it is. All I can think of, it's God. It's not me. I'm not that good. I'm not that smart, but I know who God is, and I know who Jesus is, and I know He puts His Spirit in us, and I know every time I've done anything He's told me to do, it's worked out for my good. And so I'm not throwing away any more napkins if they're clean. I'm going to keep them. Don't let Jesus slide. Don't put Him on the back burner. Keep Him at the forefront of your mind, and He will mature you. He will grow you. You'll become a better person, and you'll appreciate yourself more if you spend time with Jesus Christ. He will show you the trademarks, the hallmarks of maturity. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. And if you've never put Christ on in baptism, that's the message He gave the apostles to give the world. Go preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that doesn't believe, well, no hope for those. But if you believe today and you want to make a difference, we're ready to help you with baptism, with prayer, with repentance, whatever. Just stand and sing. And come forward if we can help you this morning.